to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier. Bring it back. Would you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we mentioned this piece out of The Athletic written by Amy Trask. You may remember Amy. Trask was CEO of the Oakland Raiders. You probably see her do a lot of stuff on CBS Sports and some of their pregame stuff on Sunday as well. And Amy joins us right now live on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
I take it you're doing okay with all of this stuff that we're dealing with right now. Everything's good, right?
You know what? Yes. When we were ordered in California to shelter at home, my response to myself, to my family was, you know what? I'm so fortunate to have a home. So I try to keep things in perspective, and yes.
Good. So you wrote this piece today in The Athletic that it is logically feasible to move forward with the NFL draft, and that maybe some of these general managers are making a little too much out of how difficult it might be. Have you heard today the specifics now where we're going to do a virtual draft where everybody is going to be at home?
I have heard that. I have seen the commissioner's memo, and I think that an even playing field, so to speak, is a great idea. And there are, of course, some teams in states where people are ordered to shelter in place, and there are other teams in states where there are a little bit more relaxed rules. So having an even playing field for everybody makes a lot of sense.
You know, Amy, you talked about in your article this the GM commissioner, the six out of the seven that voted not to that wanted to postpone the draft, Mickey Loomis being one of the guys out in New Orleans. But you don't really take give them much thought as far as their opinion. Why?
Well, I had a tremendous working relationship with Mickey while I was in the league, and I like Mickey very, very much, but on this I disagree with Mickey. I mentioned in the article that it annoyed the heck out of me throughout my career, and I was in the league almost 30 years and heard umpteen times over those 30 years general managers, coaches, and others involved with the game say things to me, and this is a quote, "No one understands how hard it is." And I would look at those who were saying this to me, and I'm saying, you're standing here on the sideline, often in the warmth of training camp in the Napa Valley, wearing clothes that the team has provided you and the team washes for you, eating food that the team cooks for you and serves to you, driving a lovely car that the team not only provides for you, but gases for you and washes for you. It really isn't that hard. And my reaction to those who have said it would be too hard to have a sort of technological virtual draft has been the same. There are people right now in this world, in this country, who are doing things that really are hard. They're on the front lines. They're first responders. They're medical personnel. They're keeping hospitals clean. They're getting us food. They're taking care of us. That's hard. Drafting from your living room isn't hard.
Talking to Amy Trask, and Amy, you were talking about even playing field. We were ticked before. You know, you look at this memo, you know as well as I do, there's teams out there that, and maybe right here in New England, that might read this memo and say, well, it doesn't say we can't do this, and it doesn't say we can't do that. And, you know, maybe we can get, you know, a room and you have a couple people in it. They don't need to see it. You know, do you think it really will be an even playing field?
I hope so. And look, people in the league are always going to push the proverbial envelope as far as they can. But this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for the 32 teams and the league as a whole to set a really good example for fans around the country, which is shelter in place means shelter in place. And if you're not out there on the front line, so to speak, stay in your house and look what we're doing. Do I know that everybody will abide by the letter of the law? You know, I'm going to say in this instance, although I may sound a little bit less like a former Raider and more like Pollyanna, I think that may well be the case.
So, right, so you know, logistically, you think they can pull all of this off? And we have the technology, obviously. Everybody's doing Zoom these days or Skype or whatever. The telecast might be a little shaky because we might lose connection here or there. But do you think it's possible? And I know Mickey Loomis was speaking specifically about the technical aspects of doing this. Do you think it's possible that six of those seven general managers said, boy, this is just not a good look when everything that's going on in society right now, this is not the right time to do it. And if we don't have OTAs and we don't have off-season camp, why can't we just postpone this a month? Because everything's going to get postponed all the way down the line.
Well, by the way, just for one moment, talking about the technology you just referenced, maybe there will be some hiccups. Every team has multiple people on staff that handle nothing other than technology, and they can be on the phone with them, and they can be on Zoom with them, or in honor of Bill Belichick, for whom I have the utmost respect, and there's a backstory there about how much I respect and admire him. They can do snap face and whatever else it was he called it. But think how much fun it will be. If you're watching a GM and he's about to draft and like his cat runs across the table or a dog runs in, or I mean, this really can be a lot of fun. In the article I wrote for The Athletic, I said there's two distinct issues. Should there be a draft and can there be a draft? And I said, I'm not even going to address should there be. Let's just talk about can there be. There are mixed views as to whether there should be for the very reasons you just suggested. But I really do think this is an opportunity now for the league to demonstrate to the whole country. Shelter in place means shelter in place.
But yeah, what's wrong with postponing it, though, for a month, Amy, when everything else is going to get postponed?
That's an option as well, and I'm not advocating either one. But the league has decided it's going forward, so my point is if you're going to go forward, this is the way to do it. I don't know that there would have been a problem postponing it either. Those were both options.
Amy, do you think that I look at it as, okay, I don't know if anything will really change in a month, but I also feel like there's a strong desire to make sure the season starts, at least the first game of the season starts on time. Do you think, keeping the schedule tight and keeping it the way it's always been, do you think that will play a role in starting the season on time?
I don't think we have any way whatsoever of knowing that. We don't know where we will be in a month, in 2 months. I'm actually working on another piece right now in which I outline for people, if you open stadiums to fans, set aside the football team and the football operations. Set aside the broadcast network. Let's just talk about all the other people necessary to run a stadium on game day. That's thousands of workers. So before we can even talk about opening stadiums to fans, we need to know a whole lot more. And by the way, if you want to say, well, we'll play the games but not in front of fans, we don't even know how far along we'll be as a society, as a world. You know, how do you let men line up across the line of scrimmage from one another where you're spitting on each other, not intentionally, always, although there is some of that, and you're sweating on each other and you're tackling each other? How do you do that? We can't even think about that yet. We can certainly have alternative plans in place, but I don't think as a society we know where we'll be in 1 or 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, and see, Amy, I agree, and I think that's why it is important, and I like what Roger Goodell's doing, because he's the one league kind of has a calendar maybe on his side, and we'll see, but just sort of going about business as usual. Like, I think that's good. I think the draft will be good for people to watch, and I think you have to go and have a little bit of hope that this thing starts with the realization that, listen, we can adjust on the fly, but business as usual, I think right now in this country is good. Somewhere.
Well, and let's put a footnote on that, or at least I'd like to put a footnote on myself. Business as usual in a socially distanced manner, or if you're ordered to shelter in place in a shelter in place manner. And that's my point as to the draft. You can do this while complying with shelter in place rules. You can do this in a socially responsible manner. And you know what? If someone accidentally disconnects themselves or knocks over the Zoom camera, that's going to be fun. And everybody's just going to need to take a deep breath and recognize that at a time when there are people with real problems in the world, figuring out how to do this technologically is not a real problem.
We're talking to Amy Trask, CBS Sports, and the former CEO of the Oakland Raiders. So I have a question, Amy, when it comes to the economy of sports. So let's go into the future here. And we finally get to the point where we can get back to sports. You've had to do this before. So don't necessarily take an NFL team. Look at the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, because they're losing a portion of their season. We don't know what's going to happen with football. You set up a budget at the beginning of the season. You've been paying your players out. You've had no fans to your games. You've had to stop playing your games. And then eventually you're going to start playing those games again. We don't know if you're going to have fans or not in the stands. But you already have that set budget, and you've blown out maybe half of a complete season. And you have an economy where those people are coming back from a pandemic where they may not be able to afford necessarily the ticket to go to the games. What happens with the economy of sports when we finally bring this all back?
Well, one of my responsibilities while I was in the league with the Raiders was overseeing cash flow, budgets, financial statement, debt service, EBITDA, all of those things. So you are in my wheelhouse now, and I'm going to explain something very, very, very technical that you do with a budget. You gather around you all the people that work with you on these matters, and you take the budget, and you rip it into teeny little pieces, and you throw it in the air like it's confetti, and you take a deep breath, and in my case, it would have involved a lot of ice cream, and say, okay, we need to revisit every single one of the areas you just articulated. You know, there's going to be different analyses for different teams. There are teams that have debt service sitting on the team, whether it's a operating line of credit or a long-term line of credit, a loan. They're going to have to address these issues with the banks. Can they meet their debt coverage ratios? Can they meet their EBITDA requirements? How do they pay employees? These are really big issues. They're not life or death, so they pale in comparison to some issues. But the first thing you do is you just look at that budget. You hit Control-Alt-Delete. And I guess kids today don't even really know what Control-Alt-Delete is. Mm-hmm. But you got to laugh and say, all right, we got to figure this out. And you work collaboratively with everyone to do it. You've got to collaborate with your fans to make it easy on them. You're going to have to work with the Players Association to renegotiate some things or navigate some things. It's going to be a lot of work, but it's not life or death.
You know, Amy, one thing I was curious on, given your background, how do you feel about owners? There's a lot of talks around, like, we keep an eye on all these owners and how they're paying their workers who are maybe out of work, part-timers or whatever it is. Do you think it's their responsibility to take care of those people?
I think it's magnificent when they do, and I think people define responsibility differently. It's not for me to say what someone else's responsibility is, but boy, and I'm covered in goosebumps when I'm about to say what the ownership of the New England Patriots did, putting aside workers because they did something on a grander level for people. But when you see what Robert and Jonathan Kraft and the New England Patriots did, I'm actually, and this is kind of, I'm getting choked up, and the last thing I want to do on New England radio is start crying. But what the Patriots did, and you look at what Mark Cuban is doing for workers and others in the NBA, there are some team owners that are doing absolutely magnificent things. None that I can think of on a grander, more global scale than what the Patriots have done. And you like to see that from people who are in a position to do these things. Because yes, there are workers at stadiums, at teams, and otherwise who live paycheck to paycheck, and they need the help.
So, Amy, just a quick football topic, because I think we just saw the last official goodbye from Tom Brady to New England. Now he's a Tampa Bay Buck. Just give me your thoughts on how do you think he'll do there, and specifically with his relationship with Bruce Arians.
Well, I think the first thing he should do when he gets there is sit down and talk about that tucked away pass on that snow. No, I'm kidding.
Little flashback, pardon me. You can't help yourself, can you?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and everybody, please, that was humor. I said it with a smile on my face. Don't everyone start yelling at me. Please. Look, there's been a debate for a very, very long time. Would you rather have Belichick without Brady, or would you rather have Brady without Belichick? And guess what? Now people are going to be able to see that. Bruce Arians is a good coach. I happen to think Bill Belichick is the best NFL coach of all time, and I say that without equivocation. And whenever I do say that, let me make my grammar better. I say that unequivocally. And whenever I say that, people say to me, but, Vince Lombardi, or but, Bill Walsh. And my answer is, those men didn't operate under a day and age where there was a salary cap as we now know it, free agency as we now know it. So we're now going to see Belichick without Brady and Brady without Belichick, and I think it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch.
What was your Belichick side story?
Well, and, you know, whenever I say this, people roll their eyes and say, yeah, right, and I'm just going to tell you, Google it, kids. It's the truth. Over the course of my almost 30 years working with Al, he involved me only one time in a coaching search, only one time. And he said, okay, I want you to be involved this time. And he had me meet every single candidate. And after I met them all, he said to me, which one would you hire? And I said, easy choice, Bill Belichick. And he went in a different direction, also made a very, very good choice, hired John Gruden, a good coach. And I thought that would remain like just between Al and I. And then once at a press conference, he actually told the assembled media, yeah, Amy told me to hire Bill. And this was after Bill had been succeeding and succeeding. And I was really touched that Al would state that publicly. And never was I more touched than when he would routinely say to me thereafter, well, kid, you know how to pick a coach.
Amy Trask, thank you very much.
Thanks,
we appreciate you joining us back here in New England. Continued.
I had much, 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 much more fun this time being back in New England than I was that snowy night.
And don't worry about crying. Christian does it on a daily basis on the show. You don't have to worry about that.
You know what? That's only one of a million reasons why I love Christian.
Amy Trask of CBS Sports. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.